We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another verse which you have given us, which is full of instruction for our comfort. And we pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to these precious words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming all of those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones, and all those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verse 21, the faith of Jacob. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. The aged patriarch Jacob stood before Pharaoh, mighty king of Egypt. And he said to the monarch, "Few and evil have the days of my life been." He wasn't kidding. From the very beginning to the end of his life, Jacob was involved in a warfare. He was constantly jumping from one frying pan into the fire over and over and over again. And it seemed like for him the hits just kept on coming. A little timetable of his life. Just a few examples. Genesis 25, verses 22 and 23. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." So Jacob was struggling against his brother while they both were still in their mother's womb. The hostility between the two brothers didn't cool. And years later, we read this in Genesis 27:41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob." Jacob's mother, Rebekah, realized this. And so in Genesis 27, beginning at verse 42, she said, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban my brother to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." That was the plan. It didn't unfold as it was scripted. The brother's fury didn't turn away quickly. And the few days turned out to be 20 years. And during that time, Rebekah died. So Jacob never saw his mother alive again. Genesis 29, verse 23. Jacob fled for his life from his brother Esau. He escaped to his mother's home stamping grounds and set up shop with her brother Laban. Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. Jacob fell in love with Rachel and agreed to work for Laban for 7 years for her. But when the 7 years were over, quote, "Laban took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him," Jacob. Jacob then agreed to work 7 more years for Laban so he could also marry Rachel. So he had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Long story short, as the years unfolded, Jacob had a terrible home life. It was full of jealousy and strife. Genesis 31, as the timeline continues with verse 38. Jacob ended up working for Laban for 20 years. And then he departed in secret to return back to his home. Laban learned of his departure and pursued Jacob and caught up with him. Listen to Jacob's words to Laban. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee, I bear the loss of it. Of my hand thou didst require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. So Jacob had to pay for it out of his own pocket every time a lion or bear came into the flock and killed something. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. The life of a shepherd was not an easy life. Thus I have been 20 years in thy house. I have served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. What kind of raises do you think he got those 10 times? Or did it go the other way, that his wages kept being diminished one time after another? The next verse he says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. It was a rough 20-year section of his life. Genesis 35, verse 8 tells us this. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. Reading between the lines, what was Rebekah's nurse doing with Jacob and his family? Well, evidently Rebekah had died, and she fled to Jacob for safety. Genesis 37, verses 31 to 33. Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, was hated by his brothers, who cast him into a pit, then sold him for a slave. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father. And they said, this we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. There is, of course, more to the story. You know that, but you get the point. Jacob had a hard life, and much of it was his own doing. He was a deceiver, and he knew the ways of the world, but he always seemed to get outsmarted every time he played that game. He had a rough life, and his life didn't always measure up the way it should have. But there was one key event in his life, which was the shining light through the darkness. And whenever we read of the life of Jacob, we've got to remember this. I'm in Genesis 25, beginning at verse 27. And the boys grew, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So Esau was his father's pet. Jacob was his mother's pet. And Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage." The word pottage, as we've mentioned before, is not in the original. A pottage was, later on, a meal that the prophets and the sons of the prophets ate. Esau had no idea what it was. He said, "Give me, I pray thee, that same red, stuff, for I am faint." Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." This is the key thing. The birthright had physical blessings connected with it. It also had spiritual blessings connected with it. Jacob knew that. "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, here you get a look into his heart, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Now, he didn't believe the spiritual import of the birthright for one split second. He didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. He didn't believe in the afterlife. "I'm ready to die. If I die, what good is the birthright going to do to me? What good are the promises of God going to be for me when I'm dead and gone?" So he sold him his birthright. Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So at the same time that Esau was despising his birthright, Jacob was eager to grab it. We've got to give him credit for that. His heart was in the right place. He wanted the blessing from God. He sought a good thing, but in a bad way. What he should have done is prayed to God to give him the birthright, which had been promised to him originally anyway. But he took things into his own hands, and as we said, he sought for a good thing in a bad way. But we think of Matthew 11, verse 12. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." There is a violence which is good, and every single one of God's elect has it. Jacob had it. He wanted the blessings of God, and he'd fight for them, and he'd overcome any obstacles to get them. Let's remember that when we see how his life unfolded. He always was seeking for the good thing, but so often in a bad way. So there's light and there's darkness. But at least he wanted what God promised him. That's the way we look at his life. The text here overlooks, in Hebrews chapter 11, Holy Spirit doesn't mention any of these things that happened in Jacob's life. None of the battles that he had to fight so often, losing, none of the trials, none of the tribulation, goes right to his deathbed, as he does in the three verses that we're looking at. The death of a child of God is very important. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How is it going to go with Jacob? By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, so he died in the faith, but before he could die by faith, he had to live by faith. And as we've seen in Jacob's life, it was not a peaceful walk through a sunlit park. His life was more like the sun shining from a darkened sky and trying to pierce through the fog and the dark clouds, struggling to even get a ray of light through them. That's the story of his life. He walked by faith, yes, but he often fought with a sword and a spear and a shield instead of fighting with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He had to fight hard for each victory that he got. His old nature was strong within him, But also, the new nature was too. There was a struggle going on. It's, if we're honest with ourselves, we see the same struggle in our life as Jacob had in his. It's Romans 7 all over again. I find a law then that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, we come now to the key point in the life of Jacob, and that is when he is on his deathbed. How does it go for him when he's on his deathbed? There were some good things that happened late in his life. And it had a blessing ending, surprisingly. Think of Genesis chapter 48, the opening verses. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. By now you know the story of how Joseph rose to great power down in Egypt. He was the number two man in all Egypt, only under Pharaoh himself. The famine was great in the world. And Joseph had his whole family moved down into Egypt. And now his father is about to die. So Joseph takes his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to Jacob. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up upon the bed. Summoning every bit of strength he has because he's very close to death right now. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." And remember, the blessing came too to Joseph, or to Jacob rather, when he was fleeing from home and he had stones for his pillow one night and he had that vision which we know as Jacob's ladder. He saw a ladder set up on the earth, reaching up into heaven, and a Son of God at the top of the ladder, and angels ascending and descending upon it. And even though he was fleeing in terror from his brother, he was comforted by that vision. And he remembers that. He remembers the promises God made to him. And now he's talking to Joseph, his favorite son. And he said unto him, and God said unto me, "Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. They belong to me. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." He is taking these two sons of Joseph and adopting them into his own family. "And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the way of Canaan, in the land of Canaan, by the way, when there was yet but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem." This was one of the real hard points in Jacob's life when his beloved wife died. And he buried her very close to Bethlehem. And we know what that means. "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons." Notice the change here. Jacob had two names. His first name that he got by birth was Jacob, but God changed his name to Israel. Jacob was his human name, swindler. Whatever he's called Jacob, at least usually, he's referred to in his state of being the old man, often doing things the wrong way. Whatever he's called Israel, a prince of God, he's doing things the right way. So he's a mixture, a curious mixture of light and darkness. When he's called Jacob, it's the darkness. When he's called Israel, it's the light. And now here he's called Israel. When he's on his deathbed, he's called Israel. I'm in Genesis 48 now, verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "These are my sons whom God hath given me in this place." This place was Egypt. And he, Israel, said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. What a turnaround. At one time in his life, when he looked at that coat of many colors that he had given to Joseph, and he saw it covered with blood, he thought that his son was dead. And now, he not only has he seen his son again, but he's also seen his son's offspring. He's got two grandchildren down in Egypt. And verse 21, Israel said unto Joseph, "Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." Blessed, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a beautiful way to die. Telling his son, "Behold, I die. I won't be able to do anything for you anymore. But God shall be with you. You're not going to be alone. And I can die in peace because I know that after I'm gone, God is still going to be with you. And he will bring you again unto the land of your fathers." So, we read here that Jacob blessed Joseph, and he also blessed the sons of Joseph. And this was an act of faith. And in some ways, the situation went against every bone in his body. What are we talking about? Well, Joseph's two sons were born in Egypt. They were born down in Egypt. And God had told Isaac, Jacob's father, "Don't go down into Egypt." Now these two grandsons that he's got have been born in Egypt, and they had an Egyptian mother. They no doubt dressed like Egyptians, and maybe that was a blessing for Joseph, Jacob, rather, that his eyes were dim and he couldn't see real well, but they probably were dressed like Egyptians. They no doubt had the customs of many of the customs of the Egyptians, and God forbid, they probably even liked Egyptian music. But Jacob takes them into his own family. See how the Holy Spirit blesses, how he overcomes sometimes even human prejudices. You look at Jacob's last days, and this is what we want to do. The life that he had is full of instruction for us, often in a negative way, and so often we see ourselves mirrored in his life. But how did it all end? It ended this way. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. He died worshiping God and blessing his children. What a way to go. Worshiping and blessing. He worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. I think of Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And when he was dying, his thoughts and his heart were on the word of God and the precious promises. That's what the Holy Spirit gave him in fullest measure. And in leaning upon the top of his staff, trusting completely in all the promises that God had made him, he died a very, very pleasant death, worshiping God and blessing his children. There is a scene that unfolded down in Egypt shortly after Jacob arrived there that is one of the most amazing scenes in all Scripture, in my opinion. It's recorded in Genesis 47, beginning at verse 7. When Joseph, remember, who was very powerful at that time down in Egypt, when he moved his family down there, one of the first things he did when they got into Egypt is take his father and bring him before Pharaoh so the two men could meet. Genesis 47, verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Two times the Holy Spirit here mentions Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Think of this scene. Here is an old man that can barely walk. His eyes are dim. He's struggling to stand before powerful Pharaoh, leader of mighty Egypt. Pharaoh having wealth untold, and Jacob having hardly anything at this point. And it's the old man who seems to have nothing, blessing the powerful young ruler who seems to have everything. Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Yes, Pharaoh's very powerful. Yes, he has many, many riches, but they're only temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. Jacob has been fighting for that birthright his whole life, and the precious promises of God are his. What a scene this is. And in some ways, you know, you and I can relate to this. Let's remember that every child of God is very important in this world, whether they know it or whether they don't. All things are for your sakes, God says. All world history is revolving around you. And don't you ever forget who you are. You're a child of God. Don't ever forget that. It may not look like it, but it is. Another amazing scene. First of all, this promise, Genesis 47, beginning at verse 29. And the time drew near that Israel must die. Remember, Israel is Jacob. Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. In other words, take an oath. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Okay, then came the death. And the burial of Jacob, now called Israel. Listen to this surprising scene. And for some reason, it reminds me of the parable or whatever of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus died and was taken by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now we're in Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 4. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. Now remember, Joseph was a very powerful man down in Egypt. He had a lot of responsibilities. They were in the middle of that big famine. He was dishing out the corn. But Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father according as he made thee swear. So Pharaoh let him do it. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. Now, the little ones that were too small to make the journey, and the flocks and herds. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. And it was a very great company. And this to honor Jacob. Jacob. And they came to the threshing floor of Ated, which is beyond Jordan, and there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Ated, they said, This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Therefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. I just feel that this is a parable in action as to how it's going to be with every single child of God when we leave this earth. We're going to leave in honor and glory and power. It may not be seen, but the things which are seen are only temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. And so Jacob, who had such a struggle all of his life, dies in peace with his family standing at his bedside, and he blesses his children. What a way to die. Worshiping his God and blessing his children. We'll end with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for all the comfort that you give us through faith in your word. And we pray that during these weeks where we are in a section of Hebrews where for three verses in a row, you are talking about the death of God's people. I pray that you will comfort all of our own hearts, knowing that these are representative people. And the same blessings that God has given to them when they depart from this earth, he will give to each of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.